Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read a couple of verses and then come back to Genesis. Hebrews chapter 11, and starting in verse 9, starting in verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in the strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And this past couple of weeks, I've been dealing with Abraham and looking at, last week we looked at his testimony, the testimony he left behind as he was traveling around. And it continually said that he built an altar unto the Lord to worship. And he did that, and that's the testimony he had. And we looked at the fact is how important our testimonies are to the world, to who we are around on a daily basis. Today, Christians don't have good testimonies, on professing Christians. Now, there are good Christians out there living by faith. They're living by God's word. They're living by truth. They're living a separated life. Some of the things we're going to be looking at tonight. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we've seen that it was by faith. We must live a life of faith. That's why they call him Faithful Abraham. But we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And look at his, it's Abram at this time before God changed his name. But in verse 28, it says, "And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in the Ur of Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, and she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, and his sons Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." And then we see there in chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all his their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the place of Moriah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And they builded he an altar unto the Lord, and he appeared unto him. He removed from thence unto the mountain of the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going still toward the south. So we see he had a testimony that he left. And who was he being a testimony to? Well, it says the Canaanite was still living in the land. And so Abram had a testimony that he walked with God. We must live a life by faith. That's why he's in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But we want to first of all look tonight at the mode of his living. The mode of his living. God called him out from his family. And why was that? Because his family, as according to as it had said in that they worshiped idols. They were idol worshipers. And so God called him Abraham out of that. See, when we get saved, God calls us out of the world. He calls us out of the world to a life separated from the world. We live in the world, but not to be of the world. But we're to cut off all of our old associations. That's what Abraham had to do. And this, at this point, it was his family because they were idol worshipers. See, we must cut off those old associations. But we see there in chapter, as God had called him out, and there in Genesis, we are called out to live a separated life. And that's what God calls us to do. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And as I see this, what can we learn from Abraham's life? Well, first of all, we can learn that we have to live a life of faith. But we have to live a separated life. That's something that we don't see a lot of. We see a lot of people falling by the wayside because they didn't live separate. They never cared about their testimonies. In the end, I think the majority of them never got truly saved, because when you get saved, God puts a new desire in your heart. But we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we see there, we looked at this, I think, a little bit last week, but I want to bring it out a little bit more. It says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So he's calling us to a life of separation, separate from the things of the world. If we expect to grow spiritually, then we need to be separate from the world. We need to draw back. We need to set ourselves aside for Bible reading. We need to set that time aside in the morning to read our Bibles, to spend time with God in prayer. If we expect, we need to be faithful to church on a regular basis if we expect to grow spiritually. That's separation. But it also goes further than that. It goes further to the point of our dress. How do we dress? Do we dress modestly? That's the key, because if we're not looking different from the world... See, when the Canaanites looked at Abraham, they knew he was different. There was something different about this man. But he had the testimony that he worshiped God. And that's what people need to have today, because I've seen a lot of people say, well, we need to get down and be just like them in order to win them. Well, that's not true. That's not what God's Word says. That's not what Christ did. He was the light of the world, and when he came, people flocked to him. Why? Because he was different. And that's what we need to be. We need to be different. And the only way we can be different is if we operate in God's strength and not our own. And if we stay focused and stay in God's Word on a regular basis. There must be complete separation if we expect to grow spiritually. Where did Abraham live? He lived in the land of promise. He lived in the land of promise, yet he was a stranger in it. If you follow the songs we sang tonight, they were talking mostly about heaven, about the time coming. And there's a song in the back of this book that's not in those books, when we all get to heaven. That's what we're looking forward to. We're not supposed to sit down here. He was a stranger in the land. The Bible tells us that we are pilgrims in this world. We're not to sit down and get comfortable, but we're pilgrims. We're not to be mistaken for citizens of this world. That's why we're called to have a separate life. It's because we're to be different. People need to see that we're different. They look at us as being losing our minds. Just like the apostles in the book of Acts, they were saying they were crazy and they're beside themselves, and yet they were clear-minded. They weren't drunk. They weren't... But they were different. We need not to be mistaken as the citizens of this world. If we're what we should be, people would know that we belong to God's family. And what's one of the telltales it talks about in John, I believe it's chapter 14. It says, if we love one another, the world will know that we're God's people. That's how they're going to know. They're going to know there's a difference. Yes, there's a lot of different groups out there that dress differently. They may dress modestly. But Christians, there's something different about Christians. When you run into another Christian, you can tell there's something different there. Especially if you're one of God's children. I could spot an independent Baptist a mile away because they act different. Isn't that right? I mean, it's just I like the fact, I'm not one of these techie people, but I like carrying my Bible to church. I like to read my Bible. I like to have books. My wife will tell you, I got too many books. But the point being is we need to be different. We need to be distinct. That's why we're Baptists. We're distinct. We need to be, see, our identification, we need to be a stranger here. Are we living here for good of those around us? Are we living in such a way that draw others to Christ? That's really what we should be doing. Or are we living in a selfish way where we're just taking care of ourselves? Some people think you get saved and that's all it's it, but that's not the truth. When we get saved, it's about winning others to Christ. It's about telling others about Christ. See, Abraham lived in Canaan to show the people what God could do for those who trusted in him. He had a testimony. He lived for God. He lived by faith. Yes, there was a couple moments in Abraham's life to where God wasn't blessing his life because why? Because he stepped out of his will when he went down into Egypt and he lied about his wife being his sister. But God still protected him. But then it says there in verse chapter 13 of Genesis, in verse 1, it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold, and went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called upon the Lord. See, he got right. He come up out of Egypt. I looked at the map because I wanted to look at this. And I started looking at the map. And really, where Abraham was, he had to go a long ways down into Egypt. It was a long travel. But then later on, a couple chapters down here, Abraham, again, he went into the Gerar. And I thought, where is Gerar? Well, it was the land of the Philistines. And then it said the next following chapter, it said that he came up out of the land of the Philistines. So we see there, but he did the same exact thing he did in Egypt, but then it was a little different fashion. God blessed his life there, and he came out and he was very great, and he was becoming greater the king, you know, wanted him to move because they were getting scared because he was growing. He was getting bigger. Two things he brought up out of Egypt: riches and Hagar. And what happened with Hagar? We know down the road, again, they didn't believe God. They didn't trust God. And he listened to his wife. And here comes Ishmael. And again, there's a nation that's fighting against Israel to this day because of Ishmael. There's two nations there. This should have never happened, but he had a moment of unbelief. He had a moment that he wasn't trusting God. And we also see there in Hebrews, those who... let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 just for a brief moment for that one scripture. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse... I believe it's verse 6. Verse 6. Says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We must believe that he is God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's another thing we have to see with the life of Abraham. Is the fact that he lived in tents. Tents are not permanent, are they? I seen an advertisement for a tent. You could buy a tent with air conditioning. It's the new homes they're selling for $180,000. It's an air conditioning tent. I'm just joking. It's just a joke, really. With today's market and everything going on with the housing, it's funny when you see stuff like that. But Abraham lived in tents. He moved from place to place. And see, he had a lot of possessions, and that's why him and Lot had to separate, because they had so much. The herdmen were starting. And Abraham said, "We be brethren." He didn't want to have a bad testimony among the Canaanites. He didn't want to show them that they were fighting amongst themselves. So he says, we've seen the fact that he's a generous man. He was a giving man, because he allowed Lot to choose whatever he wanted before he did. He said, "Choose the well water over here or over here." And Lot turned his eyes towards Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. But see, that's another thing. When we were to be pilgrims passing through, Abraham was a good example of that, is he continually to move around. It shows us that we're not permanent in this world. We're not setting up camp. The last time I checked, babies come into this world naked. Guess what? We leave naked. We can't take nothing with us. Everything we have here is entrusted to us, including our families. I mean, that's why parents are to raise their kids in the admonition of the Lord. But resting, we need to be resting upon God's faithful promises. That's something we need to do. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He promised he would come back and get us. He went to prepare a place for us in John chapter 14. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let's go there so I can quote it correctly. I don't want to misquote it. But John chapter 14. He was trying to console them. He was trying to comfort them. And the fact, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's a promise that we can live by. That's a promise that we can stand on. We know that the Lord's coming back one day. And I believe it's soon, with everything that's going on. I believe he's coming back for the church. And the fact of the matter is, we need to stand upon those promises. We need to encourage each other in these last days. That's why it's important for us to be involved with each other. That goes on to the second point. We see that the motive is living, but then now we want to see the company that he kept. He was called out among from his family, but the company he kept was his own personal family, and they worship God. It's the same company that we need to keep as Christians, is to be around like-minded believers, because there's such fellowship. When we get together, there's always good fellowship. Why? Because we have one thing in common. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to dwell or be around those that are like-minded. We need to stick with those who are co-heirs, you know, God's people. We need to stick with each other. That's why we need each other. That's why I don't know if it's Sunday morning for Sunday school or last week, but that's why we need to choose our friends and don't let them choose us. We choose the kind of company we want to keep. And we don't spend a lot of time around the world. Yes, we live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're to be separate. See, we choose our friendships among God's people. That's why it's good to have godly friends, whether they're in the same church we're in or maybe across the country, that people we know in other good churches. See, Abraham dwelt in tents. Jacob dwelt in tents. Isaac dwelt in tents. And I believe at the times before that Abraham had fellowship with his sons and with their families and with their friends, and they kept that godly heritage going on, which is the line of Christ as well. But not only the company we keep, not only the mode of our living, but Abraham looked for a home. He looked for a place in heaven. He looked for a city whose maker was God. There was a quote by Spurgeon. We must have heaven in our heart, or you will never have your heart in heaven. Think about that. You must have heaven in your heart, or you will never have your heart in heaven. See, first, we have to be saved. We have to ask the Lord to save us, according to the Scriptures. But we need to stay focused on heaven so we can be used of God. We need to focus. See, Abraham was looking for that time that was coming to go to spend eternity with Christ. And he only knew of he only knew of the coming Christ. We look back to the fact that he's already come. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And we're looking for the second coming of Christ and the fact that he's coming back for his own, the bride. So we must have a view of eternity. And we must work for eternity. That's why he gives us a command in Matthew chapter 28. And when you turn there, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And it also says it in the book of Mark. We're going to look at a couple of these different spots. But in verses 19 and 20, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." See, he's giving us that assurance that the simple fact is he's still with us, but he's calling us to go out and tell others about himself, tell him about Christ. He wants us to be soul winners. He wants us to be soul conscious, as I would say. There has to be an eternal love, an eternal faithfulness, infinitive power, endless bliss, immortal glory, where there's peace and joy. It's describing heaven. It's a place of splendor, a place of freedom. See, Abraham looked for a city whose maker was God. He looked for that. We ought to look for our home. We ought not to get settled down in this earth. I know we have homes and we purchase homes to try not to pay rent and all that kind of stuff. I understand all that, but that's not permanent. That's not our permanent residence. As Christians, it's not permanent. We need to trust Christ, realize that he is the way. We come out from the world. We lead a separated life. And then we live upon the promises that God gives us. We live by faith. We live by principle. There's many people not living by principle today. But we can learn a lot from faithful Abraham. The fact is that his mode for his home, where he lived. He lived in a temporary situation, but yet while he was there, he remained separate from the Canaanites. He didn't. And what was the request that he give his faithful servant to go where? To get his son a wife. Not among the Canaanites, but back to his family's place. And God led him, because his servant was faithful, and he asked God to bless his master Abraham, and he was faithful, and God led him all the way, and he brought a wife home or back for Isaac. And see, God blessed Abraham's life. Yes, he had a couple hiccups in his walk, but guess what? God still blessed him. But he lived a separated life. And he kept the right kind of company. See, birds of a feather flock together. The company we keep, if you hang around the wrong people long enough, it says evil communications corrupt good manners. If we keep the wrong company, we're not going to be who we ought to be. Or we're going to get a reputation that we don't want. We're going to ruin our testimonies. And then the last thing, he looked for a home. He looked for eternity. We need to not settle down here. We need to have a focus up here in the fact that we need to be working towards eternity. Now, I'm not saying we're bringing in the kingdom because Christ does that. I'm saying we need to be out here telling others about Christ because the time is short. That's what I'm saying. And That's what Abraham did. He had a testimony that he lived for God. Let's pray.